Did you know that one of the biggest threats to our national security could come from inside the organization? On today's podcast, we're talking about insider threat, what it is, what motivates insider threat, and what you can do to detect and mitigate a potential threat before it's too late. Welcome to Airwaves, the official podcast of the Naval Air Systems Command. I'm your host, Michael Lauren Prue. Please welcome to the show from the NOC AD Security Office, Jennifer McKay, Team Lead for the Agile Threat Protection and Education Team, Mike George, Personnel Security Team and Derogatory Case Manager, Anthony Cole, Personnel Security and Insider Threat Prevention Specialist, and Carlton Silvestro, Security Education and Training Awareness Program Lead. Thank you all for joining us.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
All right, so what is an insider threat? And Anthony, who is really considered an insider?
What I want to do is actually throw that back to you, because all of us are security professionals here, essentially, other than you. So what I would want to know is kind of what you think an insider threat is, and then we can kind of gauge on that, because me and myself and Carlton have both done a lot of extensive research into what it is, and it turns out a lot of people don't know.
Michael, you represent the everyday person here.
What is
your idea of what an insider threat is?
Well, I mean, I would say I try to stay up on my training every year. So I do learn that you have that kind of evil guy behind the insider threat that we all look at. But I think an insider could actually be any of us. We're all part of this organization. And whether we're doing something intentionally or just maybe slip up a bit, we can all have an impact on our security.
Absolutely.
And what we've found is the majority of people we talk to either think of it one of two ways. They think of it as either like, and I'm going to date myself a little bit, but the spy versus spy, you know, the whole espionage, people coming in trying to take stuff, which is one big part of insider threat. And then you have like the other insider threat, like the Aaron Alexis and the active shooters, stuff like that. And then we kind of glaze over the fact that a lot of these insider threats that we deal with are not even willing participants. So you think of like people who are actually going out and clicking on things and the phishing emails or whatever, and oh, oops, accidentally did this, and oh, let's try and fix what we can do as fast as we can. And you just open yourself up to a bunch of different things. Or a lot of things that we've noticed is people will talk about work, which who doesn't talk about work anyway? Oh my gosh, I've had a horrible day. Let's talk about it with my best friend over the phone in Walmart or wherever. And you are now, for anyone who's listening or who's wanting to listen to you, exposing potentially a bunch of different things that you probably shouldn't. Just notice next time you go into like Starbucks or any place where there's commonly frequented by government employees, go in there and just listen for a little bit and then think, if I were a bad guy, what could I potentially hear that I would really want to pick up on?
Yeah, so it's definitely the witting and the unwitting. Like, you can, there's two aspects. There's definitely malicious intent and then there's accidental intent there.
So Anthony, how does an insider threat impact our organization? I mean, what are the potential risks?
So the way I like to describe this is, you, I don't know if you've ever seen a movie called Panic Room. Again, dating myself, all right? But a panic room, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's like a secured fortress, if you will, inside your home or whatever. And you would go in there to protect yourself from the outside. So what's more dangerous? Someone trying to get into that extremely reinforced room or someone taking it out from the inside? If you put that on a really broad scale, that's the impact it could have into any installation. You look at companies and all that, it doesn't have to just go for NAVAIR. This could be for any company, but the risk is great.
Yeah, if you break down the potential risk, it comes into like five different areas. There's leaks, spills, espionage, sabotage, and targeted violence. So leaks being things that are intentionally given out there or put out there to get our information. There's spills, which is part of the unwitting aspect of it, where they accidentally put information in a location that it's not supposed to be, where it can't be properly protected. Espionage is definitely coming back to unauthorized transmitting of the information to another, whether it's classified or proprietary information to another individual. Sabotage is deliberately destroying or damaging or obstructing something, whether it's for political or for military advantage. And then there's also the targeted violence, which is specifically a form of violence that's directed at an individual, specifically targeting them. It's not accidental. It's not a random act. It's forethought. And so that can come in the aspect of like a bomb threat or some sort of active shooter situation. Those five areas encompass all of what insider threats could be.
All right, so why should I care? Carlton, what role does each of us play in preventing and addressing insider threat?
Yeah, so when we accept positions here, whether you're a government contractor, you're a civilian employee, you accept making security a part of your everyday work life and adhering to the policies, programs, and procedures we have. And with that comes into kind of a custodialship of the information and making sure that you're doing your due diligence to protect this information. If information can get out in any way, shape, or form, whether it's classified, unclassified, it can impact our national security. And by making that effort to do so, you are protecting the information and adhering to this. And so with insider threat, that really comes into making sure we are not only with ourselves upholding our end of the bargain when it comes to personnel security and maintaining a security clearance, but also seeing something and saying something with our coworkers. And with that mentality, it's not, we shouldn't be thinking about tattling on them or I got you or something like that. It really is preventative measures. By seeing something and saying something and doing something early on in the process in our coworkers, if we see something that may be an indicator of, hey, this person might be going down the wrong path, we can prevent them from getting too far down there and really help them in an effort, prevent them from becoming that threat to themselves and to the United States of America and turn them towards the path of getting back on the right side.
If you're a foreign intelligence collection agency, where do you want to go? You want to go to where the Navy's building stuff. And that's us here. And I think we often get really complacent down here in little Southern Maryland, thinking we're safe and protected, when in reality, this is the hotbed of where people want to go when they want to know about naval aviation.
That's absolutely a good point. So how do you recognize insider threat? I mean, what are some potential signs or indicators to look for?
So with insider threats, majority, if not all of them, have really shown a couple of different behavioral indicators, changes in personality, behavior, work habits, that kind of thing, substance abuse and addiction behavior, those types of things, financial changes in their life that could affect them, whether that's massive amounts of debts or something like that, living outside their means, those types of things. They could be a disgruntled worker and wanting to retaliate because they feel like they've been slighted or something like that. They could be seeking access to classified information or other types of information that they don't have a need to know or an authorized use to see. Try to access different locations that they're not supposed to be at, getting towards that, inserting themselves where they're not supposed to be. And then also unauthorized removal or copying or hoarding classified information or other types of sensitive unclassified information, those types of things. These are all very clear indicators that we have seen in previous case studies of actual insider threats. And in a lot of those cases, employees, fellow employees could have said something because they noticed these types of things, but they sloughed it off. They said, oh, maybe I don't want to ruffle any feathers or anything like that. And it ended up being a problem in the future.
A good real world example of that, and I mentioned a little bit earlier, Aaron Alexis, the Navy yard shooter, everyone kind of knows what happened there. 12 people died, is a horrible tragedy. But a lot of this was already talked about. It's widely known now that he went to coworkers saying that people have placed things in my head. And he got into a verbal argument with another coworker saying he accused him of having three people follow him around. There was other things where he would get into contact with police and saying, hey, I can't sleep. I'm shooting guns off in my apartment because I'm hearing these voices. And ultimately, when they found text messages later on, it was because of that voice that he was hearing that ultimately led him to that. Had it been picked up earlier, maybe there was something that could have been done.
Another example of a real world situation is these are happening quite frequently around the world, but in locations like just within 2021, there's Jonathan and Diane Toby, who Jonathan was a nuclear engineer and he attempted to sell secrets to a foreign country. He and his wife their motivation being financial gain, as well as they were unhappy with the current administration. So they attempted to sell those secrets, and they were sentenced to a combined over 40 years, over 19 years for each of them. There's also Joshua Schultz, who wasn't seeking financial gain. He was just trying to show off to his coworkers or show how important he was or how good he was. He was a hacker for the CIA, and he hacked in and got classified documents and posted them on WikiLeaks. That was just back in 2020. So these are things that are happening. It's not an abstract concept, insider threat. It's happening. It has happened, and it will happen again, and we can be the ones that stop it.
Now, we talked about those signs, but Mike, what would motivate someone to become an insider threat?
So I really wish that there was just one clear motivation behind it all, right? And because that'd make our job a whole lot easier to say, hey, if it was only for power, it'd be easier to identify. But unfortunately, I mean, there's a number of things into it. It's really, it's power, it's fame, it's financial gain, it's foreign influence. And honestly, to go back to what Anthony and Carlton were saying, you may not even know that you are an insider threat just because of your carelessness security practices. And really, when you sit there and look at it holistically, you realize that hey, there's not one specific thing that's being a motive here, but there's just a number of things into it.
Now, we've all heard, if you see something, say something. But what does that really mean? And Jennifer, if I do see something, what is the best action to take?
So we are definitely adding on. I think all of us are very used to seeing that see something, say something. And a thing we're going to add to the end of that is do something, right? If you see smoke rising from somewhere, you don't just walk by and consider that somebody else has probably already reported that or somebody else is taking care of that, right? You would jump up and tell somebody because you think there's going to be a fire. And we all need to consider this insider threat, whether wittingly or unwittingly, right, is just the same. It's smoke. And we need to try to stop it before it gets bigger. So the best thing I can say is report. And like Carlton was saying, that's a tough thing to do because A, you're not really sure if the way you're feeling about something is really, maybe he didn't really mean that, or maybe she's just having a bad day. We can rationalize all kinds of things, right? But if your stomach is telling you something seems off, it probably is. And so the best thing you can do is just report it. We have a Security SharePoint site that you can go to and report right from there. It has an insider threat button, and you can choose to be anonymous. You can also choose to be direct. Obviously, if you report something anonymously, we will not be using your name in any way, shape, or form. You will not be contacted again. It will just be considered, we'll take it from there. If you put your name in as a direct reporter, it allows us to maybe touch base with you again to get a little bit more information. We all know that, you know, when we write something down, maybe we forget a little piece or two of detail. And so if you are willing to be direct, we are still discreet about it, but it does allow us to just kind of maybe get a little more information from you on the situation that occurred. The other thing, if you're not comfortable doing that, report to a security person. You can call our security office or email us. If you have a security program manager or security coordinator that you work with and you feel more comfortable with, or your supervisor, all of those are ways that you can get that information relayed. One other thing I'd like to talk about is that we'd love to have your report immediately. That's obviously the best, right? Same thing. Think about that smoke. You want to report it before it gets bigger. But I know several cases where we've had reports of people who have like, gosh, I've been troubling over this all week. I've been really thinking about this, you know, but now I feel like I need to report it. So don't think that if you didn't report it immediately that, well, the chance has just gone by, it's nothing, because often it's a sign of something else that will happen down the road or could happen down the road. But that's our biggest thing, report.
And I'm glad you mentioned the anonymous reporting because it can take courage to speak up. It really can. So if I've reported a potential insider threat, what can I expect to happen from there?
So again, depending on how you reported it, like you said, if you reported it anonymously, that'll probably be all that you'll be involved in. Because again, we're not going to use your name. And what's being reported is sensitive. Like you said, it's scary because, like Carlton said, you don't want to feel like you're tattling on somebody, but at the same time, it's important. And so we have a very small team that takes the report immediately. So once it's either given to a security professional and gets to our office, or it's reported online, which is truly the fastest way to get it to us, you know, we immediately look at it by this small team, and we're looking for any immediate risks or threats, right? And that's, do we need to take action immediately to protect people or resources? And if that doesn't happen, then we'll continue on with our processes. But because it is sensitive information, probably once you report, you aren't going to hear a lot back. You aren't going to know a ton. And again, that's the protection of every personnel on this base. And some of these reports become something, and that's, you know, the things we want to catch. And some of them just maybe show a person needs some maybe additional services. So sometimes we'll get reports and we'll say, we'll start working with HR because maybe they just need some mental health assistance, need to know what the resources that are available to them, those kinds of things. So sometimes it can be a real lifeline to someone and stop them from becoming an insider threat.
Now, for someone like me who doesn't normally work with classified information, is my office still vulnerable to insider threats?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just the classified information. In fact, classified information makes up a small portion of what we actually do. That's the most tightly guarded and the most tightly protected. That's the information that if there was an unauthorized disclosure could cause some sort of damage to national security, probably somewhere around 10-15% of the information that we work on here, especially specifically here with NOC AD, NAVAIR, Pax River, Wolf, all of those locations. But if you think about it in terms of a puzzle or something like that, if you are working on a puzzle and you have 80-90% of the puzzle done, you get a pretty clear picture of that puzzle and what you're looking at. And our adversaries can look at that in the same aspect of it. If we are negligent with our sensitive unclassified information, CUI, all of those things, and we don't protect it as we should with controlled unclassified information, then insider threats can definitely leak and our adversaries can get that information and get a pretty clear idea of what we're doing, what we're working on.
Carlton, as more and more people are working between home and the office in our hybrid environment, has there been more opportunity for spillage? And if so, what can we all do to prevent that?
Unfortunately, there is that aspect of it. It has gone up with lots of mass telework. And I'm sure Jennifer, Mike, and Anthony can all attest to this as well, that we're moving information a lot more between our actual work locations and our hybrid telework locations, which has an additional impact of possibly spillage for controlled and classified information. With working on RDT&E networks or NMCI networks, there are specific protections in place for those networks to make sure that we can protect our information in accordance with all the policies that we have in place. Doing such can cause a higher potential for spillages of information.
I was going to piggyback on that as well. Since we've gone home to do a lot more home office work, I think that people don't think a lot about where their screens are faced, who else is in the home with them. And those people have not received clearances or have been vetted. And so they really don't have any need to know that information. And heaven forbid, one of them has a foreign exchange student over, which you might think seems harmless. What you don't know is that foreign exchange student might have been told to get something from their government before they came this way, and now they're in your home and they're overhearing information. So just be cautious about that, as well as your electronic devices that are around you.
Before all this, before the mass telework was happening, at the end of the day, majority of us would keep their computer docked at the office, and then that was the end of the day. They went home and they came back the next day and were working. But there's a lot more of taking your computer home, and with that comes travel in your cars. And people don't think about it as much, but they put their computer in their car, they put their common access card in their car, and then they'll go, and on the way home, they'll do some shopping or they'll stop for dinner or something like that. And those government assets are not protected in your vehicle. And sadly, we've had an uptick in these cars being broken into, and laptops, common access cards, these things are being taken. I've actually seen people walking through a parking lot and seen someone's common access card hanging. They put their lanyard around their rearview mirror. That's an insider threat. You're an unwilling participant in that. You're screaming, hey, target me, target me. And that's just something we need to nip in the bud, and better security practices is what we really need for that.
It's probably a good idea if we all kind of like look at our day and evaluate what we're all doing and seeing if there's ways that we can all clean up our act a little bit. But with that, what role does employee training play in preventing and addressing insider threats?
The main role with training is it reinforces our understanding of those insider threat principles that we've heard before. Like, we've all had that initial training, or maybe it's our annual refresher training where we're like, oh yeah, I remember clicking through a slideshow real fast so I could get that check mark on my paper, and they talked about insider threat and there was some behavioral indicators I remember hearing about. But by taking it seriously and by putting that effort into training and learning this, these are not situations that pop up on a daily basis for all of us. It's not something that happens all the time. So we forget about it. It goes into the back of our mind. We store it in our long-term memory. But by having that training, it reinforces, it helps us to remember these principles so that the one time that it does happen to us in our career, we're there and we're ready for it and we're able to identify it. That's why I think training is so important. I may be biased because I'm a training person. That's what I do. So maybe someone else can add on to that what their perspective is.
Absolutely. Training is a huge aspect from that because if you don't get the training for it, you have no idea what to look for. And me, myself and Carlton both have had so much data where we look at and talk to people and what would pop out to us, like leaving stuff out or leaving your common access card in your computer. And that's like, hey, you know, you guys shouldn't be doing this. But for people who aren't thinking about it on a daily basis, it doesn't occur to them. It's just slowing them down during their day. We've all been there. The data doesn't lie, and this stuff is happening now. So don't make yourself a target.
That is such a good point. I mean, it is really, unfortunately, very easy to become a bit negligent as we move through our day. So what can our organization do to create a culture of awareness and vigilance regarding insider threat? Anthony, why is that important?
So Carlton already kind of hit on this a little bit, but we just need to be more cognizant, honestly. We need to pay more attention to training, even though it pains us so. But we need to pay more attention to that, pay more attention to what we're doing and why we are doing it. Security policies are set in place for a reason. The reason is to protect the information, so let's all follow that. I can't tell you how many times I've walked down the street, blinds open, and I see a DOD label in the window, you know? If I was, again, I could take it back to if I was a bad guy, I'm like, oh, that might be a place to go. Or maybe they're on Wi-Fi. Maybe they're not using their VPN with all the issues we've been having or whatever. And boom, now there's a target there. I want to hit on something real quick. This stuff is happening today. There was just a case recently closed end of last year where Jennifer mentioned earlier, a gentleman was a foreign exchange student, came in, and that's exactly what he did. He used databases to target people unwillingly, who had no idea what they were doing. He passed them up to someone else who was also just recently charged and indicted, actually. And those people were targeting avionics groups from the military. They would bring them over to whatever country it was. They would pay for their whole thing, take them out to dinner. And while they were at a dinner, these people would go in and hack their computers and take everything that they had. So, and again, unbeknownst to them, they're just, hey, I'm here for a meeting, let's go. Oh, you're gonna take me to dinner? Absolutely, let's go. What are we having, steak? Let's do it. And their information's getting stolen. So it's stuff like that where we really need to be cognizant, like, ah, it's not gonna happen. It's happening. It's happening all around us, so.
And one of the ways that we can spread awareness is through events like Security in Our Sights Awareness Week, which is this month. It is March 11th through 15th. Jennifer, tell us about it.
Yeah, so we're setting up the month of March every year to do a week where we're really focusing on security and helping everyone along with the training to give that awareness and to remind you all of the things that you should do to help protect NAVAIR resources and people as well. So the month of March is set up and we'll do a week long. We'll have kiosks in several buildings available on different disciplines like information security, operations security, the dreaded CUI if you want to come and learn more, personnel security. If you have questions about your clearance, that's a great place to do it. Carlton will be running several trainings throughout the week. We'll be highlighting some destruction events that might be available to you. And also your secure organization security person should also be providing some additional information that might be more related to the actual office you're working in. But all in all, we're just really reinforcing and reminding people about the different security aspects that surround the jobs that they do every day.
All right, so as we round out today's podcast, remind us one more time, what can we all do to minimize or prevent insider threat?
So it's just don't become a target, you know, remain vigilant in what you're doing here. Take it as a small task of not leaving your CAT card in your car when you're parked at Walmart. Don't talk about work when you're not at work or in an appropriate space. And I think if you really try to put yourself in the mindset of what you think an insider threat is. If I was an insider threat, how would I want to get information? And if you're seeing things that could help you be an insider threat right now, then you need to say something about it and have us do something about it, really.
I want to tie into that as well. So I heard a great analogy here recently. It's people think that security is more like the cops, if you will, of the world out to get you, and we're not. We're more of almost like the firefighters. We're there to put out the fires or control what is kind of going on. You see a lot of people, even when the firefighters come out and say, hey, who started this fire? And, oh, she did it. They did it. You know, but it's really, we just want to get to the bottom of it and control what could have possibly gotten out there. And I will end it with a Smokey the Bear quote here. But proper care will prevent 9 out of 10 forest fires.
And I believe a Smokey the Bear quote is the perfect way to round out this hot topic. So I want to thank all of you for being here to talk about insider threat, what it is, and what we can all do to mitigate a potential threat, put out the fires, and protect our national security. This is one of three security-related episodes that we're bringing to you as part of Security in Our Sights Awareness Week. So make sure you don't miss any important information by subscribing to the Airwaves podcast on all your favorite listening apps. And that's it for this edition of Airwaves. Thanks for listening.